Dream big for what we can do here. Let's not be small thinkers. Let's take what we have, let's use it to our advantage, let's come together as a group, and let's go do it together.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 27 of the All Den Podcast. I am Dan Scott. Good to have you with us for this look inside the world of Furman University basketball. It has been a while since we've brought you one of these episodes, but the basketball team's been a little busy putting together another record-setting season here in the 2018-2019 campaign, which has now come to an end as far as the regular season in the Southern Conference Tournament. And as we begin this podcast episode today, we are in the middle of the week awaiting Selection Sunday to find out Furman's destination. Will it be the NCAA tournament? Will it be the NIT? We will find out in just a matter of a few days. This podcast is brought to you each and every episode by our friends at Shortfields and Downtown Travelers Rest. To find out more about the menu and all the great food they have, they are the outstanding people. Visit their website at www.shortfields.com. As always here on the All Den Podcast, it is Bob Ritchie, the head coach of the Paladins, joining us. And first of all, it's been a while since we've done one of these, so congratulations on a record-setting season here at Furman. Most wins in the regular season in school history, most wins overall in school history. You guys just keep putting up phenomenal numbers.
Yeah, I couldn't be more proud of what this group has accomplished. And, you know, they really put a lot of work into it, starting really about this time last year. You know, it was a time where, as a program, we had to make a decision if we were going to continue to push forward, and if we were, what was that going to look like? And with everybody that we were losing, there were certain elements that had to rise. And you know, I remember it so well. We got done and we made the decision last year that a lot of fans weren't too excited about, and rightfully so. We decided not to play in one of the pay for play events in the CIT or the CBI. And you know, I just felt like it was time to move. It was time to flip the page quickly, and the seniors were ready to move on. And I felt like we had to start to forge this group quickly. And so we literally gave them 2 weeks off, and we got to work. And we had about 6 weeks last spring where, before the freshmen got here, that we basically had to forge new leadership. And I think it was in that 6 week window when this team started to build. And I'll never forget the first workout. It was an alley gym that we didn't have the four seniors, and just how quiet and how odd it felt, you know, and just not hearing Jeff Bean's voice and Daniel out there flying around and John Davis's emotion and Devin's talent, and just like, where are those guys, right? I mean, they've been here for so long, and they've always said everything, and everybody kind of just listened to them, and, you know, everybody was just so used to that leadership. And all of a sudden, we're out there doing a workout, and you don't hear anything. And it was great because we were able to show that group, like, this is where we're going to have to grow. Leadership is going to have to be developed, and it's going to have to be created, and it's going to be different personalities. But in those moments, that's when Matt Rafferty and Andrew Brown and Jordan Lyons and Alex Hunter really started stepping it up. Mm-hmm. And we created the leadership, and then we got into obviously getting skills better. And then once we got into the summer, we got the new guys here. And with the new summer rules, we were able to really start to do things systematically and, you know, put in the way we wanted to play, which didn't change a whole lot. So the guys that were here the year before, the continuity of that, I think, really helped. And, you know, once we start seeing the leadership grow, the skills getting better, and then the schemes being inserted that were pretty continuous, I thought, you know, once we got towards the end of the summer, I started seeing that, hey, we had a chance to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then obviously we get into the preseason, and the moment, you know, that one moment that you have where, as a coach, it goes from thinking that you're going to be pretty good to really knowing that, hey, this team's got a real shot, was when we went down to scrimmage at Florida. And, you know, we had a bunch of young guys out there, and Andrew had just been cleared to play. And so we're starting Clay Mounts, who's a redshirt sophomore, and Noah Gurley starting as a redshirt freshman, and Alex Hunter starting as a sophomore, and we're out there on an SEC floor. And with 10 minutes to go in the game, you look up, and we're up one. And I just remember sitting there thinking, I'm like, you know what, we're going to be different. But, man, we're going to be good. And you could see the length. You could see how hard we were playing. You could see it's almost like childlike faith a little bit. Like, these kids didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. You know, Noah Gurley, he didn't know any better. He's out there just playing like he's never had to play before. And now he's on an SEC floor and he's playing well. And, you know, it was then when even right after the scrimmage, you know, Mike White came in our locker room. And as an SEC coach, as somebody I really respect, you know, he told our guys, he's like, wow, you know, I mean, we watched you guys on film preparing for this. And obviously we knew you had a lot of question marks, but y'all have a chance to be really, really good. You know, if the team continues to come together and the way you move the ball and the way you play for each other. And then we just started the journey. And, you know, it's been a fun one. It's been one that's been neat to see this team grow and, you know, to get off to the start that we get off to, but then to continue to improve to a point where, you know, we win our last 9 out of 11 and really we're playing our best ball of the year. It was quite a journey, and we're not done yet.
Thankfully, you didn't have to make this decision, but if the script had been flipped and this year you were facing that decision, do we go on and play in one of the pay for play, or do we say, no, that's enough with 6 of 9 in your top rotation being underclassmen? Would the decision have been different, or do you feel like the program is at a point now where it's got to be the NIT or the NCAA?
You know, I think that's specific for every team, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm personally, you know, I'm not a big fan of those events. I think that a lot of times it's for different motives. You know, it's for, you know, I mean, I looked at one of them yesterday, and there are some good teams in them. I mean, it's East Tennessee's playing at 1 because they got their whole team back next year. So in some ways that makes a lot of sense for them because they're returning the whole group. So let's keep playing. For us, with what Matt and Andrew have meant for this program and what their goals were and what their vision was for this group, I doubt it. I don't think we would have played. I don't think that as much it would have helped the young guys. I think us getting our hands on them and getting in the weight room and getting the skill and again, you know, leadership development. And that's right. Something that's, you know, we do a little bit more of that here than normal. But I think it's one of the reasons why we've had the success we've had was because we really start to invest in these people early. And, you know, I'm even antsy right now a little bit to get to that. You know, that's the molding phase. That's when you really start to figure out, all right, here's the picture we're painting.
When the lights are off, yeah, and nobody's
just,
watching.
It's just like this is the creative piece of it, right? Like right now you are who you are, and we got a great team, but like that's part of why I love my job so much, because it's almost like the weather. Like you get all the different seasons, you know what I mean? And all the seasons have their own excitement. And so, you know, that's a part where I think a lot of coaches don't enjoy that as much because you're outside the competitive realm of it. But for me, I've always, I mean, even as an assistant, when I had a position group, I mean, it was like I took an enormous amount of pride in making sure that our guards got better. And that, you know, I remember when Stephen Kroon, you know, was leaving, he was player of the year. And the drive and the fire in me was like, we're going to get John Davis better, right? Like, mm-hmm. like people don't really know who John Davis is yet. They're starting to figure it out. He's going to make a big jump, and we're going to make that happen. And you got to have the right people to do that because John Davis has to be willing to work, which he was. And then all of a sudden, boom, John Davis is a junior, and all of a sudden he has this great year. And it was the work that he put in the offseason. And, you know, so I get excited about that. I love playing. I love competing. I love being out there on games. But also love figuring out ways to build teams, because I think that's the key to a lot of this. Can you build a team? And a lot of that's done in the offseason.
Well, we're going to talk about the NIT part of the process in just a moment. But in a broader scheme, talking about excitement, there was a lot of hope. There was a lot of lobbying going on from our own marketing people, our social media, the conferences, social media, about for having the SoCon have at-large teams for the first time ever, and it didn't happen. How did you go about preparing your guys for Selection Sunday?
The same way we do everything. I mean, we always believe that, you know, reality is the key to a lot of this, right? Like, you got to operate in the truth, and you got to operate on where things are. And at this level, the reality is this: you got one opportunity to make sure you control your destiny and to punch your ticket. And I don't know, you know, the more I process this, I think it's too much on 3 days. I think 3 days can overshadow what a group does in 4 months. But you know what? That's not my decision to make. And that's not reality, as much as I may want it to be different, and as much as I think there's a lot of teams in this tournament that aren't as good as we are, mm-hmm. and that don't have as many wins and don't have the resume. But you know what? They won 3 games in 3 days at their tournament, and so they're going. So that's the system. That's what's in play right now, and that's the rules you got to play by. And so at this level in the Southern Conference, that's how it's always been, right? That's the script. And so I was just honest with them. I just said, look, here's the reality. There's going to be a lot of noise about it. There's going to be a lot of people throwing this up, throwing that up. It doesn't matter. You know, like at the end of the day, it comes down to what that committee decides to do mm-hmm. in New York City. And it doesn't matter what people throw up on social media. It doesn't matter what people tweet. It doesn't matter, you know, this team versus this team. The narrative can be made however they want to make it, right? They've got enough factors that they're all looking at that they can basically pick the team that they want in, and then they can create the argument of why they put that team in right. there. And you see it, right? Like, I mean, some teams a net matters, some teams it doesn't. Some teams your conference matters, some teams it doesn't. Some teams your non-conference matters, some teams your conference. Like, we don't know, right? Well, all we know is when it comes off and the team gets selected, they'll tell you why they selected them, right? And then two people can get in a room and argue why this shouldn't have happened. But all that's irrelevant. And so I was just really honest with them. But at the same time, Dan, what I was really clear about is, like, you know, understand this. When you're building something, okay, when you're building something, the key to building anything is progress without satisfaction, okay, and recognizing progress and recognizing growth. And this is a step of growth. This hasn't been done since 1991, mm-hmm. okay? And so we're not going to hang our heads disappointed that we're in an NIT tournament that is covered by ESPN, that's a very prestigious tournament that is really, really hard to get into, okay? And that's really the second time in school history that this has been done. And so while we're not going to be discouraged, at the same time, this will be motivation. I mean, this will be something that will continue to motivate this program that, hey, we just took another step. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the next step? And, you would love to say, hey, we're going to go from the CIT to the NCAA tournament. We're just going to skip all this stuff. But you know what? This step hadn't been done before in recent years. And so we're going to celebrate that. But at the same time, we're not going to be satisfied. And we're gonna continue to use this as motivation to continue to push forward.
And in fact, you talk about how difficult it is to get into the NIT. The last time Furman was in this tournament in 1991, it was a 48-team field, and now it's a 32-team field. So there's 16 less teams, you know, here in 2019 than there were in 1991. So that kind of, you know, is more fuel for your point about how difficult this tournament is to get into. And then on top of everything else, all of a sudden now we're hosting a team that, did they have a great year this year? No, but you go back a couple of years, they were the number one team in the country for a stretch in Wichita State. So, I mean, this is pretty heady stuff for this program to have all this going on right here on Furman's campus.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you see that? I mean, how often do you see a mid-major hosting an NIT game? And, you know, I think that's one of those things that we've kind of missed in spite of our disappointment of not getting in the tournament, just how big deal it is to have an NIT game hosted at Furman, right? Most of the time, in almost every situation, this group is getting on a plane or a bus and going to wherever mm-hmm. we got to go. And, you know, that's what it's been. You know, 2 years ago, the league rep was Greensboro. They went to Syracuse. And, you know, before that, you know, I mean, if you go down the line, I don't know the answer to that. I guess that would be good to ask, you know, our SID department. But when was the last SoCon school to host an NIT game? Actually, I know the answer to that. I was at the game. It was Andrew Gowdlock at Charleston. They hosted Dayton, and the reason they hosted Dayton was because Dayton's facility was being used for the first four in. So Charleston was actually the lower seed, but because Dayton was using the first four in facility, they had to travel. But that was when I was at Charleston Southern, so that had to be 09 or 10, somewhere in that mm-hmm. in that realm. And it happened by accident.
Yeah, almost an asterisk beside that one.
And so when was the last time a mid-major was the higher seed and got to host? and from our league, I'd be interested to hear that. But you know, it's a heck of an opportunity. I mean, it's March 19th, and you know, I'm talking to a lot of my friends in the business, and they're out recruiting and they're doing skill work, and they've already moved. They're not playing, right? They're not practicing, and instead, we get to go at 4 o'clock today, and we get to practice again, and so listen. We're not going to take for granted to be able to play in a national tournament and be able to still be getting out to practice gear on March 19th. I can assure you of that, because we all know most March 19ths around Furman have been either off or on to the next. You know, so we're going to continue to be thankful, but at the same time motivated.
So back to the selection thing for just a moment, even though you kind of had an idea, unfortunately, what was coming. Did you still gather as a group and watch the selection show?
Yeah, we did, because we had to, because we were in the conversation, and we didn't know exactly what way it was going to go. But you know, I think one thing that's been interesting, you know, with our conference tournament being a week early, you know, you can't do anything else at that point to help yourself. And you know, there's a part of me that almost wishes that we would just go ahead and play our conference tournament when everybody else does, just to stay in the conversation and to stay with an opportunity to continue to help your stock raise, because really what you're doing is you're sitting at home, you're locked in, okay? You can't really move, but people can move up, right? And so that they got a week where all of a sudden Florida can beat LSU in the SEC tournament in an early round, and all of a sudden, man, they're moving up, right? And you're at home, and there's nothing you can do to really impact it, right? And so you know, that was the hard part, that I felt like there was a little bit of noise around it, and there was a push, but at the same time, we weren't, us or Greensboro wasn't in a position to really play, to help ourselves and to be visible. And, you know, I think also just exposure in general, I think ended up probably hurting the league a little bit. You know, I think that you look at the OVC semifinals and they're on ESPNU, and that's national exposure that Murray State and Belmont and Austin Peay and Jacksonville State and that league is getting, right? And for them to be able to have their semis on the ESPN network, I think is a huge advantage. And, you know, think about our semifinals, right? Think about, you know, us versus Greensboro and ETSU versus Wofford and putting that on the national stage, mm-hmm. and letting people see that. And then all of a sudden now you've got that narrative out there. And I think that things like that, you know, we can sit here and say that stuff doesn't matter, but in a media-driven world right now, everybody's got a voice on Twitter, everybody gets to push their argument. The more you're on the stage, mm-hmm. then the more that's going to help you. And I think we have to, as a league, we have to look and see, like, man, we had a historic year, right? We had a year that's to be quite honest, it's going to be hard to duplicate. Can it be duplicated? Absolutely, but you can't guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And so what could we have done more and better to maybe put ourselves in a position where we could have gotten somebody else in? I don't think three was realistic, just because, again, it's hard to jump from one to three. But, man, was this the year that a second should have been in? Absolutely. No question in my mind.
A couple of things. You know, first of all, this was the first time that a conference – with an RPI rating as high as the Southern Conference was, did not get multiple teams in. So the SoCon was going to make history one way or the other on Sunday. The other thing is, and this is, I say this not as a knock on John I. Marino, but just looking forward, new commissioner will be named here shortly for the Southern Conference, and hopefully that new commissioner will have a new vision that will include some of those things you're talking about. How can we better expose our product?
And you know, that's anything, right? That's what we're going to do this off season. Mm-hmm. How can we make our program better? And I think, you know, in our commissioner's defense, the league wasn't very good 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it was in a bad spot, and you know, there was a lot of bad teams in it. And this growth has been pretty quick, you know, when you look at the large scale. But it's been progressive, right? It's been each year where you've seen it going this direction. To where now this year, just, you know, bang, right? We're all on the national scene, and so, you know, with the growth, then we've got to look and we've got to see, okay, how can we move with this growth, and how can we make sure that we're ensuring that the league continues to rise, and you know, that's the exciting piece. That's what drives me as an individual, and I'm sure, you know, the ADs and the CEOs and the conference office, I'm sure they're all looking at it the same way. But we got an incredible opportunity, as a mid-major basketball league right now to increase our brand. And
strike while the iron is hot.
Absolutely. We got to go. And we need help, right? I mean, the programs are doing it. And we're putting these programs in positions where, I mean, you look at those four. I mean, it's like all four of us are in the top 75. Like, for years, it's amazing if you get one in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to continue to move this thing forward.
This is episode 27 of the All Dan Podcast. I'm Dan Scott. This is head basketball coach Bob Ritchie. As we kind of turn the corner toward the home stretch here, we talked about watching the selection show. What about the finding out what your seed was, who you were playing, and the fact that you're going to host? Did you have any inclination, any advance word, any of that was happening, or did you find out when that show happened at 8:30 on Sunday night?
We found out that night, and you know, we had a feeling that we should just. I mean, just looking at the numbers. I mean, with our net being that high and being in bubble consideration, most of the time those teams end up, you know, in as a top four seed, and so we felt pretty good about it. But you don't know it until you see it. And I was interested to see the team's response, and it was neat. They were actually pretty fired up. I mean, they haven't seen their name called on TV before. You know, I mean, it's just, you can act like that's not a big deal. It's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they release it, and we see Clemson's the two. And I just had a feeling, you know, I was standing by one of our coaches, and I said, I think this is going to be us right here. And sure enough, you know, it popped up, Furman three. And, you know, the house went crazy. I mean, it was exciting. The guys were pumped up. And so, look, we're going to be excited to play. I mean, that's we're always excited to play, and we're always excited for an opportunity to get better. And it's going to be a heck of a challenge. I mean, Wichita State, you can look at the record and say 19-14, okay. But if you look at what they've been doing lately, they've been playing really, really well in the month of February. And, you know, really, really had a shot there to potentially win their league in the conference tournament. And lost a tough, tough game in the semis. But Coach Marshall is one of the best, and you know, obviously highly respected in our business, mm-hmm. as one of the best coaches in the country. And those guys play hard; they're big, they're physical. It's gonna remind the fan a little bit of ETSU. They're gonna be a little bit bigger, even though in some spots a little bit more girth. But you know, they get after it defensively. They get out in transition and run. They really attack the offensive glass, and so we'll have our hands full. But our guys are going to be ready to play. They're going to be fired up. They're going to be excited. And we had a really spirited practice yesterday. I anticipate having another one today. And we're going to go out. We're going to be excited come tip time tomorrow night.
And for our fans, one more opportunity to see this team as a unit, and specifically Matt Rafferty and Andrew Brown, the two headlining seniors, play a game on their home floor, which obviously you're never guaranteed after that conference tournament is done. And I know that the excitement is the administration is taking care of the ticket costs for the students, so we expect to have a big student contingent there. And I really think we're going to have a great atmosphere here.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. You know, I have no idea, but you know, I've just been watching film and focusing on our team. but I would hope so. I mean, I think that, you know, this is again something that we've never hosted an NIT game, and I'm hopeful that our fans will look at this as an opportunity to come out and support this group one more time, and I'm hoping that our city will get behind it and come out and enjoy the game tomorrow night. And it's going to be a great game. I mean, it's going to be two really good teams, and obviously two teams that are both going to want to compete to win. And both teams that understand if they lose, their season's done. And if they win, they get to keep playing. And I think that always brings a level of excitement that's unique this time of year. And so I'm definitely hoping that we have a great crowd. I would be disappointed for our student-athletes for what they've done for this institution if we didn't.
And, you know, I know as a coach you just take them one game at a time. But it would be nice when this basketball season does come to an end that it ends at Madison Square Garden.
That would be, but you know, we just want to win tomorrow night, right?
I
now
I understand.
And you know, it's obviously I'm as ambitious as any of them, but you know, the road's gonna most likely be an American League team, an ACC team, and a Big Ten team on and the other two you're gonna be on their court. And so you know, that's that's the mistake that people make when you get into this tournament. It's hard to advance in this one as well. You know, it just is. You don't see a lot of mid majors advancing through this tournament because you got all the high majors that were right there on the edge of the bubble. And so it's going to be competitive, but that's what we like. We like that. We embrace that. And, you know, you gotta want the challenge. You gotta believe in yourself. You gotta be convicted in the way you play. And we're going to go out there excited and ready to compete tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I think playing on campus sites obviously adds a lot of the wow factor to this tournament. Usually it guarantees big crowds and a lot of excitement. And to get to Madison Square Garden, you have to win three games, either on your home floor or somebody else's home floor.
That's it. You got to. It's look. I mean, there's a reason why it's at Madison Square Garden, and there's a reason why people watch it, because if you do survive the early three rounds, I mean, that's four good teams, and that's four teams at the end of the day that probably should have been in the tournament, you know, in retrospect, or had an easy case to be in the tournament, and they're still playing, you know, in the month of April. So it's definitely a great opportunity for us, and we're excited about it, and we're looking forward to getting out there tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you know, obviously things are much different now as we get set to close it out. But into the 1950s, the NIT was the more prestigious tournament than the NCAA because it was an invitation only, and it always played out on Madison Square Garden. You go back and do some research in college basketball history, and for a lot of years, the NCAA tournament was considered the minor tournament. Obviously, that's not the case now, but this tournament does have an awfully deep, rich history, and I'm excited that we're a part of it.
Yeah, I am too. I love to continue to be playing this late in March, and you know, couldn't be more excited to get out there. So hopefully we'll see a lot of Furman fans and Greenville community out there tomorrow night, and be ready to go have a great game.
All right, Bob, thank you.
All right, thank y'all.
And with that, we put a wrap on episode 27 of the All Den podcast. Our thanks to head coach Bob Ritchie, as always, for the time, and hope that you, the Furman basketball fans, enjoy the insight and enjoy the insight that you get on each and every episode. Again, the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Shortfields. Find the restaurant hours, the menu, and all of the wonderful things there in Travelers Rest at shortfields.com. We will talk to you again in the not-too-distant future. And hopefully we'll be talking about a nice run in the NIT. Until then, for Coach Bob Ritchie and all of us at Furman, I'm Dan Scott saying God bless you. So long, everybody, and thanks for being All Den.